wretched man on earth. He had come to the curer for help, and had ended up marrying her and becoming a slave. I asked the old man why he didn't leave, Don Juan continued. The old man's eyes widened with fear. He choked on his own saliva, trying to hush me, and then he went rigid and fell down like a log on the floor next to my bed, trying to make me stop talking. You don't know what you're saying. You don't know what you're saying. Nobody can run away from this place, the old man kept on repeating, with a wild expression in his eyes. And I believed him. I was convinced that he was more miserable, more wretched than I had ever been myself. And with every day that passed, I became more and more uncomfortable in that house. The food was great, and the woman was always out curing people, so I was left with the old man. We talked a lot about my life. I liked to talk to him. I told him that I had no money to pay him for his kindness, but that I would do anything to help him. He told me that he was beyond help, that he was ready to die, but that if I really meant what I said, he would appreciate it if I would marry his wife after he died. Right then I knew the old man was nuts, and right then I also knew that I had to run away as soon as possible. Don Juan said that when he was well enough to walk around unaided, his benefactor gave him a chilling demonstration of his ability as a stalker. Without any warning or preamble, he put Don Juan face to face with an inorganic living being. Sensing that Don Juan was planning to run away, he seized the opportunity to scare him with an ally that was somehow able to look like a monstrous man. The sight of that ally nearly drove me insane, Don Juan continued. I couldn't believe my eyes, and yet the monster was right in front of me, and the frail old man was next to me, whimpering and begging the monster to spare his life. You see, my benefactor was like the old seers. He could dole out his fear a piece at a time, and the ally was reacting to it. I didn't know that. All I could see, with my very own eyes, was a horrendous creature advancing on us, ready to tear us apart, limb from limb. The moment the ally lurched onto us, hissing like a serpent, I passed out cold. When I came to my senses again, the old man told me that he had made a deal with the creature. He explained to Don Juan that the man had agreed to let both of them live, provided Don Juan enter the man's service. Don Juan apprehensively asked what was involved in the service. The old man replied that it would be slavery, but pointed out that Don Juan's life had nearly ended a few days back when he had been shot. Had not he and his wife come along to stop the bleeding, Don Juan would surely have died, so there was really very little to bargain with or to bargain for. The monstrous man knew that and had him over a barrel. The old man told Don Juan to stop vacillating and accept the deal, because if he refused, the monstrous man, who was listening behind the door, would burst in and kill them both on the spot and be done with it. I had enough nerve to ask the frail old man, who was shaking like a leaf, how the man would kill us, Don Juan went on. He said that the monster planned to break all the bones in our bodies, starting with our feet as we screamed in unspeakable agony, and that it would take at least 5 days for us to die. I accepted that man's conditions instantly. The old man, with tears in his eyes, congratulated me and said that the deal wasn't really that bad. We were going to be more prisoners than slaves of the monstrous man, but we would eat at least twice a day, and since we had life, we could work for our freedom. We could plot, connive, and fight our way out of that hell. Don Juan smiled and then broke into laughter. He had known beforehand how I would feel about the Nagual Julian. I told you you'd be upset, he said. I really don't understand, Don Juan, I said. What was the point of putting on such an elaborate masquerade? The point is very simple, he said, still smiling. This is another method of teaching. A very good one. It requires tremendous imagination and tremendous control on the part of the teacher. My method of teaching is closer to what you consider teaching. It requires a tremendous amount of words. I go to the extremes of talking. The Nagual Julian went to the extremes of stalking.
Don Juan said that there were two methods of teaching among the seers. He was familiar with both of them. He preferred the one that called for explaining everything and letting the other person know the course of action beforehand. It was a system that fostered freedom, choice, and understanding. His benefactor's method, on the other hand, was more coercive and did not allow for choice or understanding. Its great advantage was that it forced warriors to live the seer's concepts directly, with no intermediary elucidation. Don Juan explained that everything his benefactor did to him was a masterpiece of strategy. Every one of the Nagual Julian's words and actions was deliberately selected to cause a particular effect. His art was to provide his words and actions with the most suitable context so that they would have the necessary impact.
That's the stalker's method, Don Juan went on. It fosters not understanding, but total realization. For instance, it took me a lifetime to understand what he had done to me by making me face the ally, although I realized all that without any explanation as I lived that experience. I've told you that Genaro, for example, doesn't understand what he does, but his realization of what he is doing is as keen as it can be. That's because his assemblage point was moved by the stalker's method.
He said that if the assemblage point is forced out of its customary setting by the method of explaining everything, as is in my case, there is always the need for someone else, not only to help in the actual dislodging of the assemblage point, but in dispensing the explanations of what is going on. But if the assemblage point is moved by the stalker's method, as in his own case or Genaro's, there is only a need for the initial catalytic act that yanks the point from its location. Don Juan said that when the Nagual Julian made him face the monstrous-looking ally, his assemblage point moved under the impact of fear. So intense a fright as that caused by the confrontation, coupled with his weak physical condition, was ideal for dislodging his assemblage point. In order to offset the injurious effects of fright, its impact had to be cushioned, but not minimized. Explaining what was happening would have minimized fear. What the Nagual Julian wanted was to make sure that he could use that initial catalytic fright as many